Hallelujah. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we worship and we adore you this morning. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. Can I get a witness in the house?
The Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Now, Lord, we thank you for all that you have spoken in your word concerning your promises. Thank you, Jesus. Now, even as your word has declared many precious and exceeding great promises unto us, give us understanding this morning. Hallelujah. Receive all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, and the young man, he started on the message that the Lord had for us this morning, because he was the Spirit of God contending for God's promises. That's what God wants me to bring to you this morning. Contending for God's promises. Hallelujah. And I'm going to start here in 2 Peter and chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So there, God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. In fact, from cover to cover, the Bible is full of so many promises. But right away, let me tell you this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, let me say and declare this right away, that the Bible says that all of the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, unto the glory of God by us. So, you know, God never gives a promise that he says perhaps. He never gives a promise that he says maybe. But his promises are what? They are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me settle that right away. But that's not my message this morning. That's part of the message. You know, we must know first of all that God has given us exceeding, and I'm talking about mentioning maybe some of those messages, I mean promises and so forth, but I'm going to bring out something here this morning. You know, God has given us tremendous promises in the Bible. And we know that his promises are settled. His word is forever settled in heaven. But it must also be settled in your heart. Amen. Praise God. Now, but here is my message this morning. You know, and this is the punchline. I'm going to give it right now instead of at the end. You know, this is the message this morning. Just because God has promised all these wonderful things in the Bible does not mean that you are going to attain the promise. That's my message here this morning. God has promised all these beautiful things, but that doesn't mean you are going to get the message, I mean the promise. But we are going to show why people don't get the promises, and we are going to show how you can get the promises. Amen. Amen. But it's not automatic. Just because God promised something, it's not automatic that everybody is going to get it. It doesn't happen that way. You know, you must contend for the promises of God. Hallelujah. You know, and let me tell you also something, folks. If the devil has anything to say about it at all, he's going to make sure that you don't get the promise. You know, because that's his job. His job is to steal the word of God from you, to kill your dreams, to destroy your life, and even if he can, you know, all of those things, that's his job. You know, but your job is to believe the word of God. Your job is to contend, honestly contend for God's promises in your life. Praise the name of Jesus. So let me break it down here this morning. What is the reason, or what are the reasons why people, look, God has promised so many things. Jesus said, I came to give life in abundance. Why is it that people's life are not abundant there? I mean, we preach faith in this place all the time. You know, we preach how you can rise above obstacles. We preach all of these great promises of God. But why is it that people don't attain all the time to these things? Well, let me break it down for you here this morning. The first thing, and there are several that I will talk about here today if I have time. But the first reason why people do not attain unto the promise of God, and listen to me folks, is unbelief. That is number one. You're still with me this morning? Unbelief, also called staggering at the promises of God. Wavering in your heart concerning the promise. And the Bible says, let him that wavereth, or let him that doubteth, not think that he will get anything from the Lord. You cannot get anything from the Lord if you doubt what God has said. You know, now you must, when you are contending for the promise of God, you must say what God says, not what you think. Are you still with me this morning? You must contend for God's promises and his word, not what you think. So unbelief, and I'm going to tell you a story later on, unbelief is one of the main reasons why people do not attain unto the promises of the Lord. The other reason also, which goes hand in hand with unbelief, is disobedience. When people disobey the word of the Lord, I want to tell you folks here this morning that every promise of God in the Bible always carries some condition. Every promise. But if you disobey the word of the Lord, or you do not sanctify God in your hearts daily, watching at his posts, if you do not sanctify the Lord in your hearts, then you cannot attain to the promises of God. Disobedience will naturally eat away like a cancer at the promises of God, and you will not attain if you live a life that is in disobedience. You know, that disobedience means also hearkening, you know, not hearkening to the word of God and not doing all of his statutes. Turn to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Here is a verse that outlines and gives us an example of all of the things that you must do in order to attain the promises of God. Here's one promise that God said. He said, look, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. You know, now, those are the conditions in this verse. You know, the promise in this verse is, I will not put upon you any of these diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's the promise in this verse. But look at all of the things that God outlined before you can attain that promise of living a life in health. Hallelujah. Living in divine health. And even if you get sick, the Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth you. For you to be able to attain those promises, here are all the things that you must do. You must hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord. And you must do that which is right in God's sight. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You cannot do what is right in the eyes of the world. But you must do that which is right in God's sight. That is what righteousness is. Righteousness is doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, according to the word of God. Amen, somebody. Hello? Then you must give ear to his commandments. When God speaks by voice, like on this pulpit right now, the voice of the Lord. You know, one time the Lord said to Moses, he said, look, you know, I send my angel before thee, and my voice is in him. And he said, you better watch out, because he's not going to pardon your transgressions, because my voice is in him. Look, when we stand here in the name of the Lord, the voice of the Lord is speaking the word of God to you. And you must hearken to his word. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, you must hearken to that word. In fact, you are commanded to hearken to that word. Now, when we speak the word of the Lord to you, honor the anointing of God in this place. You know, if you hearken, then you have the covering, the anointing. The covering anointing comes to you through obedience to the word of God. But if you don't hearken, then you have broken the word of God, and you may not be able to attain to his promises. Then also he said, you must also keep his statutes. You know, in other words, you must do the way that God likes to do things. Hallelujah, somebody. All of these things in order for you to attain to the promises of God. Well, you know, so, what about opposition from the devil? You know, so I've already talked about unbelief. I've talked about disobedience. I've talked about not fulfilling all the conditions. But now here's also opposition from the devil. You know, the Lord, when he promised something, the devil is going to oppose it. Hello, somebody. Oh, the devil, he doesn't want you to attain to God's promises. And let me tell you some of the most subtle ways that the devil will come, you know, because, you know, he wants to distract you from the destiny and the purpose of God in your life. So he'll come, you know. Now, the Bible says there are many voices in this world, and not one of them is without significance. You know, there are the voices of faith, and that's the kind of voice you should be listening to. Amen? Amen. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And they will not listen to the voice of strangers, because they don't know the voice of strangers. You know, but I tell you, there are some subtle voices. You know, like the voice, the one that is most subtle is the voice of reason. Voice of reasoning. Try to reason out the promise of God. You know, when God has said, you know, he said, well, you know, I don't know, maybe that's not what God meant. Or, you know, how can it be? You know, and when you are trying to believe God, the voice of reason will come in there. You know, and when you are trying to do the will of God, the voice of reason will come in there. They try to tell you not to do it. Jesus was focused to go to the cross. And then here comes the voice of reason through Peter. He said, Lord, be it far from you that you should go to the cross and die. You are supposed to be the Savior. How can you be the Savior if you go and die? Because he did not understand the things of God. Hello, people. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus looked beyond Peter and saw that devil that was speaking through him. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Sometimes the devil will speak through your best friend.
Yes.
You know, to derail you from the purpose of God in your life. Peter was one of his closest disciples. And Peter was the one that just got the revelation of who Jesus is. And right there in the same chapter, he began to tell Jesus not to go to the cross. The voice of reason. He will come. You know, the devil, you know, he will come through many ways. The voice of discouragement. Discouragement. The other time we spoke about obstacles in your way, you know, those discouragements and so forth. You know, now when the Bible says, like, and I'm going to come to this in a minute, you know, I'm going to define for you patience in a few minutes. But when the Bible says that we should patiently wait, you know, and patiently, after we have endured, patiently, you know, obtain the promise and so forth, what does it mean? And I'm going to define it right now. What is patience? The way that God looks at it. Does patience mean just sitting on the chair and doing nothing? You know, that's what some people think patience means. Just sit down on the couch all day long and you do nothing. No, that's not patience. You know, patience means you are enduring the affliction and still believing the Lord that God is going to come through for you according to his word.
Yes. Yes.
That's what patience is. It doesn't mean you're just sitting down and doing nothing. And that's not patience at all. You know, patience means you are going up against the obstacles. You are going up against the affliction. You know that things are not working right, but you know by the word of the Lord that God has spoken it, and you are looking for that blessed hope. You know, you are looking for, whether it takes one day, doesn't matter to you. Whether it takes 2 days, doesn't matter to you. Or whether your name is Abraham and it took you 25 years to attain the promise, it still doesn't matter.
Yes.
You are going to patiently wait for the promise. Now, so these are, you know, if you don't have patience, you run off after the devil tries to discourage you, you know, then you're not going to get anything from the Lord. You know, God cannot be put into a box. Folks, are you still with me? You cannot put out a program and a schedule and try to make God to fit into it. It doesn't work that way. Hello, folks. That's what a lot of believers always trying to do. They got their things all lined up, and then they want God to just sanction it. You know, that's not the way it is. And it doesn't work that way. I'm going to show you the order that God has ordained how you must be able to attain the promises of God. The correct order and the correct way of things. Praise you the name of the Lord. No, so now that we have seen all of the various things, and I'm going to abbreviate this message, all of the various things that have, you know, that can derail you from obtaining the promises of God, you know, let's look at, you know, what the, you know, how you can obtain the promises of God. You know, before I do that, let me highlight again the things I went through. Unbelief will prevent you from obtaining the promises of God. Disobedience, not fulfilling the conditions of the promise. Opposition from the devil. Lack of patience, you know, and so forth. And all of these things that the devil will try to bring, you know. And then lack of patience will eventually make people to give up. And once you give up, you know, remember, the word of the Lord is tried. You know, but once you give up, you know, that means you have not sanctified the Lord. You know, and so the Lord cannot fulfill that promise. I'm going to show you something, you know, very serious, a very stern warning in here this morning in a few minutes. A very, very stern warning. But let's go and see how you can attain the promises of God. Now, I've preached on this message before in various forms. You know, but this fits right into this message right here this morning. In the book of Hebrews, turn with me, chapter 11 and verse 13. And I've preached on this before. And the message, I believe, is on the website, The Essentials of Faith. And in this chapter of Hebrews 11 and 13, we have some four basic things and principles and steps how you can attain the promises of God. I preached on this before and I called it SPEC. S, P, E, and C. The first thing here is to see the promise of God. Now, you cannot see the promise of God if you are not reading the word of God. The way to see the promise of God is to read the word of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Because God has already signed, sealed, and delivered this word to you. Now, when you read the word, here's what it says. These all died in faith, not yet having received the promises. But here are the steps they were taking. But they have seen the promises afar off. So the first thing is, they see the promise. So you must see, you must know the promise. And the next thing is they do is that they were persuaded of the promise. That is the P. You must be persuaded that the promise, you know, that God has spoken, He is also able to perform. Hallelujah. Then you must embrace the promise. You know, and then you must begin to confess the promise. Hallelujah, somebody. So let me go through these steps again. See the promise of God in the Bible. Now, if you don't have a promise, you know, put aside your prayer. Do a little research. Find a promise in the Bible first. Hallelujah. Because for faith to be valid, it must be based on the word of God. It cannot be based on what you think. You know, you can't just make something up and think that God's going to do it. No. You know, God is only going to do what he has promised if you keep the conditions. But first, he will promise it in order for him to do it. He's not bound by whatever if he didn't promise it. You know, the chances are maybe 50-50, you get it or you won't get it if God didn't promise it. I don't know. But if he promised it, it is yea and amen. Hallelujah, somebody. That's right. So take a little time, do a little research, find the promise of God in the Bible concerning what you are praying for. Well, there's always a catch-all promise. I love that very much. You know, what things soever you desire, when you pray. So faith is now, not tomorrow, but at the time that you are praying, you must believe God. You must sanctify God in your heart. And when you believe, it is counted to you for righteousness. Hallelujah. So once you see the promise of God, then you must be persuaded. What does it mean to be persuaded? Well, let's read Abraham's story in Romans chapter 4. You know, to be persuaded. What does it mean to be persuaded? I'm going to start at verse 16 of Romans chapter 4. Now, it says, therefore, he was talking about law versus faith and so forth, works of the law and works of faith, works of righteousness and so on. Now, therefore, it is of faith that he might, you know, be by grace. To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, like the Jews and so forth, but to that also which is by the faith of Abraham, like us, the Gentiles, you know, who is the father of us all. You know, as he has written it in the word, he said, I've made thee a father of many nations, you know, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God can speak things, and he's done it all the time out of existence, into existence out of nothing. Amen. Now listen to this. Listen to Abraham's testimony, or the testimony about Abraham, who against hope, against all odds, you know, Sarah being way past her years, Abraham himself being way past his years, he did not even consider the deadness of Sarah's womb, or even his age, but he believed God. Hallelujah. Who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. He didn't even have a child, but he changed his name to prove it, that he believed God. And he began to tell his friends, look, from this day on forth, don't call me Abraham anymore. My name shall be Abraham, because I will be father of many nations. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Of course, you could probably guess how ridiculous that sounded to his peers. He didn't even have a child. Now he's going to be father of many nations. Those of them that had children, they didn't even call themselves father of nations, but he believed God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God was the one that chose him to be that too. Now, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, you know, because he was 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Now, this is the persuasion. He was fully, not haphazardly, not halfway persuaded, you know, because God is greater than your heart. You know, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was also able to perform. Hallelujah, somebody. Now put your hands together for the Lord Jesus for that. Hallelujah. Now, I have said many times, this portion is non-negotiable. You must believe that God is able to keep what he has promised. That is non-negotiable. If you do not do that, you cannot even proceed to obtain the promise of God. Now, I'm talking about how you contend for the promises of God. This is how you contend. First, you must know what the promise is. And then you must be persuaded that God that made that promise is able to keep that promise. Hallelujah. When God said in Isaiah 43 and verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. Even when you pass through the fires, hallelujah, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. You know, when God made these kind of promises, you must believe that God is able to do that. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they believed God. They said, you know, because they knew the promise, and they said, well, our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. They believe that. That's step number one. You must believe that. And they believed it. They said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But nevertheless, if peradventure, for whatever reasons known to him, he chooses not to deliver us, we still will not bow down. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, your job is for you to absolutely believe the word of God and sanctify God always in your hearts. And I want to be, when I stand before God, this is my prayer all the time. I say, Lord, when I want to be, you know, it doesn't matter to me what God promised me, what I must believe it. Now, God may choose to override. That's his business. That's not my business. My business is to believe his word. Hallelujah. If God said this, I must believe it, and that's my responsibility. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I believe, you know, perhaps next weekend, this coming weekend, there is a message that God will have me bring. Give you an understanding of how God brings those things to pass that you believe. Anyway, you must be persuaded. And then once you are persuaded, the next step is key, which is embrace. Now, some people are persuaded that God is able to do all things, but they believe that that's for somebody else. Well, God did in the Old Testament. God, you know, whatever, you know, and so forth. You know, but God is not a respecter of persons. Hallelujah, somebody. God is not a respecter of persons. You already heard it this morning, that God is only a respecter of his word. And for those that believe him in every nation, those are the ones to whom God has respect. If you believe the word, that's right. That's the thing that moves God. Now, so instead of saying, well, yeah, I know God can do it. No, or it's for somebody else, or God did in the Old Testament, but he's not doing it anymore. You know, now some people actually believe that, you know, all the things that God has done before, he is no longer doing them, you know. And if you believe that kind of statement, that means you are saying that God is no longer capable of doing those things. Because I am the Lord and I change not. Hallelujah, somebody. God will never change. He is the same. Praise God. So you must embrace this promise for yourself. You know, you must make it become part of your life. Blessed be the name of Jesus. And then the last step, of course, is confession. Hallelujah. You must confess the promise of God. Praise God. When God said, I am heads and not tails. I am above only and not beneath. This is what you must confess. Praise the name of Jesus. But you must also walk with God. You cannot be confessing one thing and doing the opposite of what you are confessing. Amen, somebody. If you are confessing that you are healed, then get up from the bed already. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus used to say, take up thy bed and walk. Now, if the man didn't take up his bed, he wouldn't walk. Hello, somebody. There's two commandments there. Take up thy bed and walk. You what? Some people like to walk before they take up. No. Get up. Take up your bed, he said, and walk. So you must get up from that bed of affliction. Hallelujah, somebody. You must get up. You know, praise God. Me personally, I don't like lying down for any sickness. Amen. You know, that's it. You know, I don't care what it is. I'm good. I'm going to be on this, my 2 feet. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, and the Lord who is in me is greater than any sickness. Hallelujah. If you believe that, you can shout hallelujah. And that can be your testimony also. So don't let anything put you down. Amen. You heard that already last week. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now, let's look at, you know, some of the things that we have to endure sometimes, you know, in order to gain the promises of God. You know, let's look at some other people's testimonies, and then we'll take one or two other things that I'm going to show you here. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, from verses 11 to 15, we are told how that, you know, when God made promise to Abraham, he swore by his own self. And how Abraham, after he had patiently endured, he inherited the promise. We read also this morning already in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. The same thing. How that you must patiently endure in order to inherit the promise of God. Now listen to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. He says, and we desire that every one of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. In other words, don't give up halfway. Amen. Don't give up halfway. Are you still with me here this morning? Praise God. Don't give up halfway. Listen to this. You know, be not slothful, but followers of them, verse 12, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Don't be slothful, don't be lazy, but keep following and keep going forward in the promises of God. And through faith and through patience, through endurance, that's really what patience means. And through endurance, you will inherit that promise. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater. I love this scripture. God, you know, people, when they make promises, they always swear by somebody greater than themselves. When they make an oath. So God, you know, trying to humor the human race, humor them, they was just like people do things, say, well, you know, I'm also going to swear by somebody greater than myself. Hallelujah! So he did a little bit of research. He looked in heaven for somebody greater than himself. He could find none. When he looked upon the earth and the sons of men, from everywhere else, he could find none. Therefore, you know, there's power returned unto him. Amen. Hallelujah. And therefore he swore by his own self. And he said, surely blessing. Surely. Now that is surely. That is not maybe. Amen. And if you are the seed of Abraham, that promise was given to you in Abraham. And to his seed, which is Christ. And if you are in Abraham's seed through Christ, that same promise that Abraham received, you received it as well. And God said, you know, surely blessing, I will bless you, and surely multiplying, I will multiply you, and so forth. And so, after that he had patiently, verse 15, after that he had patiently endured, you know, he obtained the promise. Now, this verse 15 summarized what he went through for 25 years. You know, how many of you are in here that have been waiting for a promise from God for 25 years? I mean, the same thing. That you are waiting for 25. This man, for 25 years, when God even appeared to him and said, Abraham, I am your shield and exceeding great reward. And Abraham, you know, said, well, Lord, you know, if you are my great reward, then, you know, what are you going to give me seeing that I go childless? And God began to give him this tremendous promise and so forth. Well, you know, and after all that, you know, Abraham said, wow, you know. And I want to show you something here that Abraham, you know, he had to do as well. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. And let's take a look at this quickly here, this promise of where God gave him this promise in Genesis chapter 15. When God told him, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And God told him all of these things, you know, and so forth. And Abraham argued his case and said, well, you know, seeing that I have found favor before you, you know, why not bless me also in this area as well? Praise God. Hello, somebody. When you come in the presence of God, and the Spirit of God begins to move upon you, and the Holy begins to show you His kindness and His glory, take advantage of it. Amen. You know, take advantage. I begin to ask God for great things. Amen. Well, you know, this area of my life is still crooked. Why don't you help me fix it, Lord? Amen. Abraham said, well, I'm still going childless, you know. Why don't you take care of that? Of course, God already knew all that, you know. But listen to verse 11. This is what is where I'm going. You know, when God told him, he said, look, you know, because he asked God, he said, give me a sign that I will inherit the land. And God said, well, take this. You know, God told him to make some sacrifice and so forth. So he got the sacrifice ready. And when he prepared the sacrifice, which was supposed to bring his blessing, the birds of the air came upon that sacrifice. People, I'm telling you something here this morning. In verse 11, and the fowls came down upon the things that Abraham had prepared. But Abraham drove them away. That is contending for the promise. You know, just because God said, well, make this sacrifice and bring me this and bring me that and cut it up and put it in the sacrifice, and he did all that. Just because you did that, don't you think in your heart that the fowls are not going to come after it? Those unclean devils will still come after your promise. But you must drive them away. Hallelujah, somebody. And prayer is a place, you heard that already this morning. Prayer is a place where you drive them away. And you heard me preach this many times, that can your prayer move God? Can your prayer make God stand up on his feet and blast with fire out of his nostrils? Can your prayer do that? David said, my prayer made God do that. Hallelujah. When David prayed, God rode upon his chariots and he came to his rescue. Can I get an amen in the house? Can you pray with that kind of power with God and let God stand up on your behalf? Well, these are the ways that you must contend for the promise. And you must know that every promise of God is for you as well. Read this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. He says, in Acts 2:39, he says, for the promise is unto you. Hello, everybody. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Of course, we know he was talking about the Holy Spirit there, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and so forth. That promise is unto you. But that is the same way that every promise of God is. That promise is for you. You must embrace that promise for yourself. Don't think that it is just for somebody else. Hallelujah. And then you must begin to confess it. In Romans chapter 10, verse 10, we are told that, you know, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You know, for you to believe the word of God that you read, the word of God, you know, it starts in your heart. When we speak the word of God on this platform, in the name of the Lord, and you believe it, it starts in your heart. You know, but hey, you know, for you to bring it to pass in your life, it is going to be by your mouth. You know, for with the mouth, confession is made unto possession. Hallelujah. Salvation, possession, whatever, you know, it's the same thing. You must confess. In fact, Jesus himself, he knew this principle. You know, all through his time, he used to tell them, you know, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it again. Because he was confessing that word. Hallelujah, somebody. He was confessing it ahead of time. You know, hallelujah. The Son of Man, you know, shall be, you know, ridiculed by the Pharisees and so forth, and they shall put him to death, and in 3 days, he shall rise again. He told them. He told them constantly before the event. He had to confess it. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, when he took his disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah and Moses appeared unto him. And the Bible says they discussed with Jesus, the death that he should suffer and so forth. They were discussing with Jesus. And Jesus, you know, I guarantee you, was telling them, like, look, I'm coming out of that grave. Amen. Praise God. Because they needed to believe that too, you know, for later on, you know. So he was telling them, you know, my goodness. And you have confessed the word of God. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. And at the end of this story, I'm going to bring a very stern warning, you know, about the promises of God. Now, remember that the subject matter is contending for the promises of God. Now, and I have shown you you know, how you can fail to attain the promises of God. I've also shown you some steps that you must take in order to attain to the promises of God. Now let me give you this story, which I've told before here at the church, to summarize this lesson today. In the book of Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14, there is this story of the children of Israel. Of course, God had brought them out of Egypt and all of that. And finally, one time God told Moses, and he told them, they sent the spies to go spy out the land and so forth. And so they went to spy out the land. And then they came back. There was, you know, he picked out, you know, one here from each tribe. And he sent them to go spy out the land. And they came back with a report. Now listen to this story, because you've heard it before, but there is something I want to bring out here today. Now, of course, everybody that went came back with the fruit of the land. They all did. You know, so they all came back with the fruit of the land. They, you know, they found the vines and the grapes and so forth. They brought all that, you know. But they also came back with their report, their analysis of what they found. Now, some of them came back with an evil report. You've heard this story before. And two of them, Caleb and Joshua, came back with a positive report. Now, listen to the ones that came back with a negative report. Listen to what they said. You know, let me just read a few of the... I don't want to read the whole chapter, you know, but I'm going to stand from verse 25 of Numbers 13. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. You know, and they came to Moses, to Aaron, congregation of the children of Israel, and they brought their report. So they showed them the milk and the honey and the fruit of it in verse 27. You know, but verse 28, nevertheless, they said, you know, the people that are in the land, that dwell in the land and so forth, you know, they are strong. The cities are walled and all of this. We can't do this. You know, we can't go up and attain the promise of God. You know, because there's all these challenges on the way. You know, are you still with me? This is the report they brought. Now, God promised them that land. He promised to give it to them. He swore to Abraham to give it to him. And Abraham said, you know, why, how will you show me? And he showed it to him way back in that chapter that we just read, you know, all the way from Genesis 15. And God, all the time, he'd been promising them, you know. But when it came this close, and God said, check it out now, you know, and see what I'm going to give you. Then he said, then their heart, then the voice of reason, the voice of unbelief began to creep in. And say, well, we can't do that. We saw the sons of Anak there, you know, or the giants who are in the land, you know, the land, you know, swallows itself. We are like grasshoppers in their presence. You know, they began to make up all these things and so forth. You know, they said, we cannot do it. We cannot go up and take the land. Okay, that's what they said. Now, verse 30. But Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, do I have some Caleb in the house that can believe the promise of God? Or do I have a bunch of all these unbelievers? You know, say, let us go up at once. Not even delay. Praise God. Then let's not delay at all, because God has promised. Say, look, we are well able to overcome it and to possess the place. Hallelujah, somebody. We are well able, not even just barely able. No, we are well able. Amen. Oh, but the people, you know, say, oh, no, we can't do it and all this and so forth. You know, and they brought an evil report. They said, look, we cannot do it. You know, we've gone through the land. We cannot do it. Until all the people began to be afraid, you know. Hallelujah. You know, let me tell you something. The voices of reason and the voices of doubt and unbelief will weaken the very foundations of your hope or even what you are trying to believe. Amen? Do you understand that? Where people begin to say, you can't do that. You know, you cannot do that. You know, and the devil will whisper to you, you cannot accomplish that. You know, that's impossible. You know, and so forth. Well, you know, that's impossible to only him that does not believe God. Hello, somebody. All things are possible to him that believes. And with God, there shall nothing be impossible. And in chapter 14, you know, they made all of these things and said all and so forth. They said, look, let us even go back. Chapter 14 and verse 4. Let us make us a captain and return to our captivity. Because this thing that God has promised us, it is impossible. We cannot do it. You know. And they did not sanctify God in their heart. They began to provoke God. They provoke God. And then, see, but Joshua in verse 6, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, you know, which were of them that searched out the land, they came and spoke to the company of the children of Israel. Verse 7, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land and to give it to us, because it's a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Only, and they warned the people, look, do not rebel against the Lord. Because when God, look, let me tell you something, folks. When God promises something and you don't believe it, it is tantamount to rebellion against the Lord. Hello, people. Do not rebel against the Lord. You know, but, you know, they told them, don't even fear the people. Why? Verse 9, I love this verse. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. We are going to have them for lunch. Amen. Praise God. How many of you are still with me? There were two people that felt that, look, nothing can stand before us because God promised it to us. Hallelujah. But some of the other people, they wouldn't believe God. You know, so they, you know, they continue to say, well, we cannot do this. We cannot do that. Now, here is the warning that I'm going to bring from the Lord here this morning. And I'm going to start to read that in verse 11 of Numbers chapter 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? And how long will it be before they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? You know, this is the question. You know, now there are many of you that are sitting in here today. God has done tremendous things for you time and time and time again. And then someday you face some new obstacle. And then you begin to doubt the Lord. It's the same scenario as these people right here. They saw all the signs that God did in Egypt, you know, and so forth like that. And they even saw the pillar of fire, you know, and they passed through the Red Sea as on dry ground. You know, they had God supply their food from heaven. I mean, all kinds of tremendous miracles that God did. And then God said, look, I am with you. You know, I destroyed Pharaoh and all his hosts in the army. Go forward and process the land. They said, we can't do it. You know, and God said, is that a fact? You know, so listen to this. And God said to them, look, I'm going to smite them with the pestilence and I am going to disinherit them. Hello? That's a strong statement. I'm going to disinherit them. I mean, these were his people. These were his chosen people. That he said, look, I am your shield and you're exceeding me. Not that I'm going to give you a reward. I will be your reward. And I have chosen you. You know, and I'm going to bless the earth through your seed. You know, but he said, look, I'm going to disinherit them. And so Moses, he stood in the gap and he began to pray to the Lord and say, look, let it be far from the Lord that the Lord should disinherit his own inheritance. Why should he didn't say the Lord couldn't take them into the land? That's why he destroyed them and so forth. So, you know, he began to plead with the Lord and so forth. You know, so here's what the Lord said. Well, verse 20, the Lord said, look, you know, I have pardoned them according to your word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with my glory. So he began to tell them, he said, look, you know, because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me all this so many 10 times, and they have not hearkened unto my voice nor sanctified me, if you want to put it that way, you know, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Are you still with me? Now, just because God promised something does not mean you are going to get it. God promised this one and he swear that he's going to give it to them. But right now, God is about to disinherit them. God is about to, you know, disannul that promise, you know, because of their unbelief. And because they did not sanctify the Lord in their hearts. And God began to tell them in verse 27, how long will I bear with this evil congregation? We which murmur against me. You know, every time that, you know, you face your challenges and so forth, and people murmur against the Lord. Why, you know, if God was so good, why did he allow this thing to happen in my life? If this was this, and so on and so forth. And you forget all the goodness of the Lord, which he has done to you. You know, that is murmuring against the Lord. That's not how to contend for his promise. You will not get anything doing it that way. You know, so God told them, see, look, because you have done all these things and they murmured against me constantly, you know, and they have said all these things in my ears and so forth, and then the Lord said, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. You know, and he said, doubtless ye shall not come into the land. This is verse 30. You will not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell there. You know, this is the thing that God already promised, but now he's going to change it because the people did not believe. Are you still with me, people? God promised it, but he's going to change it because the people did not believe. Now he said, well, but for your little ones, verse 31, the ones that were, you know, didn't know either way to believe or didn't believe, you know, and so forth like that, you know, they're too young to do all of that, you know, so those ones that are still innocent, them will I bring in. I'm going to wipe out all the generation that had opportunity to believe me, those who are men of war and so forth, that I did great things in their midst, but they didn't believe me and did not sanctify me. I'm going to wipe them out. They will not go in. And listen to this. Verse 34. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, every day for a year you shall bear your iniquity, even 40 years. This is the place where God took, made them go for 40 years in the wilderness, you know, doing nothing until they all died. Just one. It's like God smote them with blindness. They could not go forward anymore because they said, we cannot go forward. See, when God said go forward, he said, I cannot go forward. Then God smite them with blindness, and then they went around in circles until they all died. Are you still with me, folks? This is a stern warning in here this morning. When God says go forward, you must go forward. Remember Lot's wife. God said, do not look back. And she looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Because the Lord, he is a consuming fire. Now, listen to the rest of verse 34. All these days, 40 days that you went, I'm going to make you go 40 years. A day for a year for a day, and you shall bear your iniquity. And then, listen to the last phrase. And ye shall know my breach of promise. Are you still with me, folks? Yeah. This is the one place in the Bible that God said, I will breach my promise. The thing that I promise you, I will disannul it, I will cancel it, I will make it a breach, and I will not give it to you because you did not believe me and you did not sanctify me in your hearts. Now, folks, at the beginning I told you the punchline. Just because God promised something doesn't mean you are going to get it unless you are contending for that promise. And I've outlined to you the ways to contend. And on top of that list must be faith in God's ability to fulfill what he has promised. That must be your number one. And then in prayer, when you get in on that prayer, you know, of course the devil is going to fight you when you are believing, but you must stand your ground in prayer. And sometimes, most times, 2 minutes prayers will not get it done. You cannot run off from the presence of God just in 2 minutes. Jesus used to grind in prayer. He ground himself in prayer, you know, until blood was coming out of his forehead like sweat. Hello, somebody. You know, sometimes you have to pray like that. Praise God. The disciples, they didn't like to pray. You know, they just, you know, like to take things easy and so forth. Of course, they couldn't do any great miracles. You know, and Jesus told them, well, you know, because of your unbelief. You know, that's number one. But secondly, you know, there are some things that cannot just come out anyhow. You've got to pray. And you've got to fast. Hallelujah, somebody. You have got to pay the price. And you've got to put your life, you know, somebody's got to put their life on the line. Jesus did that for the elect. He put his life on the line for the elect. And the Bible says that, look, those of us who are shepherds, those of us who are pastors, you know, we ought to also lay down our lives for the brethren. We got to stand in the gap for the people of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I know all about that. And then you yourself must also pray for yourself and your children. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. The breach of promise. Be it far from the Lord, that the Lord should breach any of his promises toward us. Amen. But the thing that will cause that breach of promise is unbelief. And not sanctifying the Lord in our hearts. And doubting his word. Let not that man that doubteth think that he will get anything from the Lord. Now, in closing here this morning, let me say this. You know, you must honestly contend for the promises of God. Hello, people. Every promise that God has promised, once you lay your hand upon that promise, whatever it is that you are believing God for, it's going to be a dwell to the finish. Don't think that the devil is going to just sit back. Do you think that the devil was just going to, you know, just let Jesus, you know, get the elect of God? No way. Going to fight him all the way. He's going to try to discourage him. He's going to try to do everything to him and so forth. But Jesus, he went for the pearl of great price. Hallelujah. You know, and he went all the way and he got it. And that's the reason you are sitting here today. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you must believe God. Like the fathers of faith. Abraham. All his days. You know, 25 years waiting. He kept on believing God. Praise God. You know, God wrote those things not for his sake only, but for our sakes more so. So that we who, upon whom the ends of the world has come, we might believe God and have a strong consolation of the hope that we are waiting for. Amen? That's the reason why God allowed those things in the Bible. But I tell you what, you know, Jesus wants me to tell you this morning. That look, his words shall be no longer prolonged. Time no longer. That which God has spoken with his mouth, he will perform. Amen. Even in your days. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. We don't have to wait 25 years anymore. You know, we can believe God now. Faith is right now. But I tell you what, I mean, that's his business. You know, I'm believing God. Look, I'm believing God right now. You know, if I'm sick right now, I'm going to believe God for my healing now. Not tomorrow. You know. And not for 25 years. Come on, folks. I'm going to believe God right now. You know. And, you know, let God have his way. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And then don't miss. Next week, you will hear a vital part of this. Where God will show you how he does and makes sure that those things happen that you are believing God for. Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet here this morning and put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. If you love the Lord in your heart today, give the Lord the praise and the hand clap here this morning. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. For I am the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord here this morning. Here's what he wanted me to tell you, and to close with this. This is a prophetic utterance that God wanted me to give to you straight out of the word this morning. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 25. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, have I said the word, and in your days will I perform it, saith the Lord God. And the Lord said unto him again, he said, say ye unto them. And he said, you know, pretty much, say ye unto them this morning, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. Verse 28. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. And since God has said that, now you must enforce what God has spoken. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You must enforce what God has spoken. You know, God gives the word and he steps back. And then there's a great company of people that accomplish and publish that word. And that's you and me in here today. When God has spoken concerning you, that the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. When the Lord has spoken concerning you, that the Lord shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. When the Lord has spoken concerning you, that ye shall be above only and not beneath. You must now step in and begin to enforce those promises. You must begin to contend for those promises. And don't take no for an answer. Hallelujah. God has already said it, as long as you are walking in the light. You must be walking in the light of his word. You must be fulfilling his word. You cannot come to church on Sunday and shout the glory, jump up and down and praise the name of the Lord, and then Monday to Saturday live like the devil. You cannot do that. It's not going to work. Hallelujah. You must every day of your life walk with God. Because the Bible says Enoch walked with God. And he was not. God took him. But before this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. And without faith, it is impossible. There are some few things that are impossible. One of them is, it is impossible to please the Lord without faith. You cannot do it. Praise God. Don't be on the other side of the breach of God's promise. Folks, let me repeat that for you here this morning. Do not be on the other side of the breach of God's promise. And the thing that breaches God's promise is unbelief in his word. Now, I want to challenge some prayer warriors here this morning to contend for the promises of God. Now, if God has promised something for you in your life, I cannot enumerate all of the God's promises right here because we'll be here, you know, till 6 p.m. But God has promised some things in your life. And there are some things that you have not yet attained. Well, you have heard the word of the Lord this morning. Now, I want to see those who are going to begin to contend for the promises of God like never before. You must square away your life. Make sure that you are on the paths of righteousness. Make sure that you are believing the word of God. Make sure that you sanctify the Lord in your heart. Believe all of his promises. And then stand before the Lord. Having done all, stand in the gap for yourself, for your loved ones, for your children. Contend for the promises of God and believe. Now I'm going to take a few minutes this morning. I want to see some prayer warriors step forth. Step forth right here and let's contend together for some promises of God that have eluded you up to now. There are some promises of God in your life which God has promised but have eluded you. Come forth and let's contend for the promises of God in prayer. Praise God. The Bible says, my house shall be the house of prayer for all nations. You know, some people think that all we do in the church is when we come is just do praise and worship. Just sing some few songs, you know, enjoy ourselves and go home. No. My house shall be the house of prayer for all nations. Prayer is one of the things that we should do the most when we come to the house of God. But it's one of the things that is lacking. People love good music. They like some few stories and so forth like that. But people don't love to grind in prayer. Now, I want you to turn you loose in here this morning and begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Open your mouth and begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith. standing upon the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, contend for his promise, contend the thing that God has promised, don't let it elude you. And do not miss out on the promise of God through unbelief. Contend for the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. The promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. They are not perhaps or maybe. What God has promised, he also is able to perform. You must believe that God is able to perform what he has promised. Believe the name of the Lord. Believe on the Lord here this morning, and so shall you be established. Believe also his messengers, and so shall you prosper. Lord Jesus, we thank and praise your name. In here this morning. Blessed be thy name, Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, we thank you because the promises of God are yea and amen, and they are ours to claim. And we will believe the Lord. We will sanctify the Lord in our hearts. We will not doubt you, Lord. Father, O Lord Jesus, move upon your people here this morning. Give us, O Lord, confidence in your word. Give us the strength in your word, O Lord. For by our own natural strength shall no man prevail. But by the grace of the Lord, we stand here this morning. Stand therefore in the grace of the Lord and believe on the word of God here this morning. Standing on the promises of God. Contending for the promises of God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. Hear, O God. Hear, O God, the promise. Hear, O God, you, God, remember the promise. What you have promised your people, Lord. Remember what you have promised your people, Lord. Remember what you have promised your people. Remember, Lord, what you have promised your people. Hear, O God, the cry of your people, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. For this promise is unto you. The promise is unto you and to your children and to many that are afar off. The promise of God is unto you. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, move upon your people. Move upon your people, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 For the promise of God is unto you. The promise 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 is unto you. Hallelujah. The promise is unto you. Contend for the promise. Everything that God has promised. Hallelujah. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it, saith the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise your name, Lord. Praying with all prayer and supplication for all saints. Building up your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost, people. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. That is how you build up your most holy faith. Hallelujah. Standing on the promises of God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.